All right, so let's finish strong. Hour number three. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. You are in the jungle. We are live. We are in Southern California. Tremendous Tuesday to you. Coming up next segment, I've got a safety for the Philadelphia Eagles, Rodney McLeod. Here is your telephone number. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. I mentioned yesterday, coming off the weekend, you should go to my Instagram feed. Also at Jim Rome. I let you in. I posted three pictures of my home. Inside, outside, my office. They're up right now. Hit me up with a follow. Go to at Jim Rome on Instagram. You can check out what my bar looks like, what I did Friday night. You can check out what the inside of my office slash gym looks like. That was Saturday morning. You can check out Sunday, my bocce ball court, which I spent a lot of time on. All those pictures are posted at Jim Rome. All I'm asking for in return is a quick follow. Hit me up. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Dana White was pretty sincere that he was not giving up on UFC 249. Like, he was not to be denied. Everybody else is shutting everything down, and Dana was saying, nope, nope, we want to get this done. We cannot cower in fear. We're not going to let this get the better of us. We need to be back in business. People need this. People want this. We're going to find a way to get it done. And Dana made the point that he actually thrives in chaos. Like, he loves these challenges. And sure enough, he's got a fight card. He lost his headliner in Khabib and replaced him with Justin Gaethje. Gaethje's on record as saying he does not like to take fights on short notice. Well, he's taking this fight on very short notice. Not only this fight, but an extremely dangerous fight, which I'll get to in a minute. Now the only thing left to be resolved, not the only thing, but the biggest thing is, where are they going to have this fight? Where are they going to have this fight? You can't have it in the U.S. You really can't have it anywhere, right? Dana says, let's not get into that. We can't have it somewhere. We can have it on a private island. So Dana White keeps himself a private island. And he says he's got that private island for 2 months, and they have to build the infrastructure, and he is ready to roll. And they're going to, quote, pump fights out every week. So, we're going to wait and see where this is. In the meantime, what about the matchup? Like, I'm not saying that this is done, and I'm not saying he can pull this off. What I'm saying is, if anybody can pull it off, it's Dana White. For a couple of reasons. One, the guy's got that kind of electric will. Like, he won't be denied. Plus, I've seen this guy pull off amazing things in the past. Maybe nothing quite like this, but he did take a company that was purchased for $2 million and build it into a company that sold for $4 billion. This guy's imposed his will time and time and time again. So maybe he does pull this off. And if he does pull it off, we've got a pretty good fight. So he's close to finalizing a location somewhere on the big blue planet for UFC 249, and in the meantime, he does have himself a card, and he officially canceled, well, a fight that was not set up once, not one, not two, not three, not four,
not five,
but a fifth time, one of the most anticipated fights in UFC history, Khabib v. Tony Ferguson. That fight has now been taken down five different times. And, of course, we knew this last week when Khabib, the UFC lightweight champion, took to Instagram Live to say that he was unable to get out of Russia, therefore he could not take part. So disappointing, but not surprising. Look, like everybody else in the sport, I've been waiting on that fight for years now. Khabib is probably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world right now. He's 28-0. Not only 28-0, in a sport, he's undefeated in a sport where everybody loses. I'm not sure this guy's even lost multiple rounds in his career. He's lost, what, maybe one round in his entire career. Like, this guy's ability to maul world-class fighters, some of the baddest dudes ever, like the Bears that he did as a kid, has me in awe. Carol Baskin's Tigers have nothing on this dude mauling humans. Am I right, Carol? Just kidding. No, I'm not. Khabib literally kills the wills of some of the strongest guys mentally I've ever seen. Absolutely demoralizes alphas. This is why I want to see somebody like Ferguson step in there with him, because Tony Ferguson in his own right is a really bad dude. Ferguson has won 12 fights in a row. 12 in a row in the UFC is rarefied air. Seven fighters ever, including Khabib, have won 12 in a row in the octagon. This is why everybody wanted that fight so badly. Tony himself is a come-forward, beat-the-hell-out-of-dudes fighter. But he's versatile. He's got wrestling skills that make sports, or these sports diehards, intrigued to see if maybe he can neutralize and slow down Khabib and his grappling. Like I said, a major, major bum out that fight's not happening. But understandable. And one more side note, idiots, it's not Khabib's fault. Stop. You sound stupid. You sound ignorant. He's not ducking Ferguson. That's not what this is about. He went home during a global pandemic and he got stuck within the borders. He could not get out. Tough guys. He's not ducking anybody at all. It's one of the worst takes ever. So he's out. Tony still wants to fight. Dana very clearly wants that fight to come off, or the card. So, who does he get to fight Ferguson? Justin Gaethje. And my reaction is, hell yeah. I mean, it's not the same thing, but it's the next best thing. I'm not even kidding, clones. Those of you who may not be familiar with this guy, let me dial you in quickly. He is a badass. Not even kidding. Go and check this dude out. Flat out, one of the most popular fighters in the business. And while Ferguson was slated to be the most accomplished wrestler that Khabib's ever faced, Gaethje actually is more accomplished wrestling than Ferguson. This guy was a Division 1A All-American in college. But that's not even the reason why fans love him. They love this guy because he's electric. He comes out swinging. He is a fighter's fighter. Obviously, he took one of the most dangerous fights imaginable on 2 weeks' notice. One of the best fighters in the world in one of the most stacked divisions ever in the UFC. And he's coming for heads every time. I'm geek for this fight. He is a come-forward fighter. He's finished his last three fights in the first round. He's actually iced 18 of the 21 dudes he's faced. And the scary thing is, he's more measured now. I'm telling you, styles make fights. And these two dudes are going to give each other the hands. These two guys are coming forward. They will trade hands. They will give each other the hands. Am I right, Nate? Funny thing is, Gaethje, he might be undefeated if he used his wrestling more. I think that he might be. He just does not always do it. He throws makers, which I love. Also, what does that say about Tony and Justin both, that they agree to take this fight on short notice? Yes, they want paychecks. At this time, a paycheck is really nice, right? But there's a lot of risk involved. Ferguson is risking a hell of a lot. He could take the safe route. He could wait for Khabib if he wanted to. He's earned it. Nobody would say anything. Nobody would think any less of him, but he's still taking this fight. And even though he's had a full camp, he's taking that fight on short notice. And he's going up against a stone-cold killer like Justin Gaethje. If he loses, he might not get another shot at Khabib. He's 36. And how about Gaethje? Somebody who normally does not take fights on short notice. His camps typically run 8 weeks or more, sometimes 12 weeks. And he's going to take this fight on 2 weeks' notice. That fight's in 12 days. A five-round fight, potentially. I mean, realistically, I mean, this guy is so skilled and he's so tough mentally. But realistically, what kind of shape could he really be in? Even if he started to train a week ago, what kind of shape could he really be in? Good enough shape to go five rounds against a guy like Tony that could go 12 rounds? He's got that kind of cardio? Justin tweeted he was terrified and he bleeping loves it. Jim Rome hasn't tweeted, but he bleeping loves it. Both these dudes have stones. I'll give him that. And got to give it to Dana. Dana made the best possible fight out of the worst possible circumstances if he can secure and build out his private island. If Danny can do that, there's going to be a whole hell of a lot of... Clones, get your popcorn ready. Because wherever the hell this is on Mother Earth, if it takes place, I can promise blood will be spilled, and I can promise a whole lot of... Ferguson, Gaethje, sign me up. Sign me up because I need something to watch. Sign me up because I need something to gamble on. And sign me up because I need some... The winner gets the UFC lightweight interim title and Khabib. The loser gets, well, the bad end of the hands. You know why that sounds so good right now? Because I haven't done it in so long. Who do you like in that fight? Well, do you think that fight's going to happen? Do you think the fight's going to happen? And who do you like in that fight? I need somebody to make it better. Oh, this guy will. Los Angeles. Let's go to Los Angeles. Matthias. See what I did there? It's not Matthias in Los Angeles. It's Matt in L.A. Hey, Matt, what's up?
James, good morning to you. So I have a little bit of a beef, although I know the segment has ran its course, but I do have a beef with the drivers of Los Angeles, and I'm assuming every big metroplex in the U.S. Hey, guys, if you don't have to be out, don't be out, but especially don't act like you're the fastest clone on Earth, our guy Cruz Pedregon, in a drag race every time you're on the 110, the 405, or the 101, you tools. I mean, it's bad enough we're dealing with this viral issue, but it's even worse when I'm looking in my rear view and I got Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jimmy Johnson coming at me. So get a grip, guys. That's all I got, Jim. War Itch Eisenhower getting a taste of the Studebaker for the first time. Outro.
Matthew. Yeah, that's kind of annoying. He's got a point. If, in fact, you have left the house and you're on the freeway, he's right, man. Get off our ass. There's nobody even there. Like, what? Why do you need to go a buck 40? There's no traffic. You're going to get there already. Much faster than you ordinarily would because there's no commute. He mentioned that I understand the beef segment has run its course. Notice it is Tuesday and I did not promote that. That's fine. It was great. We had a great run. They had an amazing run. But you are more than welcome to call even without the actual branded beef segment. Just call and say whatever's on your mind, right? If you have beef, just call the program. Any day. You don't need to wait for Tuesday. I'm here for you. When we come back, Philadelphia Eagles safety Roddy McLeod joins us. When it's time to hire, finding the right person for your company can be challenging. This is especially true in a small business where every single employee truly impacts the organization. So when you're ready to find that next hire, LinkedIn can help. LinkedIn Jobs matches your role with qualified candidates so you can find the right person quickly. LinkedIn is an active community of professionals with 675 million members worldwide. I am a member of LinkedIn. I'm on that site every single day. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills that you're looking for so you can hire the right person quickly. Things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn looks beyond just hard skills and puts your job post in front of qualified candidates every single day. That way it's seen by people looking for jobs like yours. That's why companies rate LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. Find the right person for your business with LinkedIn Jobs. Get $50 off your first job post when you visit LinkedIn.com/Rome. LinkedIn.com/Rome. Terms and conditions do apply. LinkedIn.com/ROME. We'll be right back. I am looking for your telephone calls. If you've worked your way in the rotation, hang in there. We'll have Tom on the other end. If not, I've got an open phone line right now. And again, that number is good in the United States and in Canada. 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now by a safety for the Philadelphia Eagles. He is a Super Bowl champion coming off a huge season. We had 108 total tackles. That was second highest on the team last year. He also had 10 passes defensed. He had a couple of forced fumbles and an INT last year. He was undrafted out of Virginia in 2012. He is the owner and CEO of Back of House. Rodney McLeod is my guest. Rodney, it's great to have you on. How are you?
How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you on. So listen, there's a lot to cover with you. Before we talk football, though, bring me up to date. How are you and your family doing right now in the middle of this global pandemic?
Yeah. You know, it's a very difficult time, I feel like, for us all, but we're managing to, you know, get through. You know, we've established a day-to-day routine that we can kind of depend on in the time being. We pretty busy around the house, packing, getting ready, preparing for a move. We're trying new recipes, we're watching shows, you know, doing Zoom parties, you know, just to bring some normality to the situation at hand that we're all kind of facing right now.
That sounds like a very good approach and a very good process. And in addition to that, you and your wife, Erica, made a $25,000 donation through your foundation, Change Our Future, to help food banks in Philadelphia. Like, what kind of conversations did you and Erica have when it came to that gift? And why was that so important to you both?
Yeah, so it was very important for one, for us to launch this fund that we've both are very passionate about, called Change Our Future, that you just mentioned. And, you know, the premise behind it is to create opportunities for youth and local communities through educational and health initiatives. And we feel like the conversations that we've had and just being, you know, a part of certain communities is that there's a lack of educational programs and healthcare in these lower income communities. And so when this pandemic started, we wanted to support an organization like Philabundance that's now being able to provide that food security for families at risk that don't necessarily know when they're going to get their next meal, unfortunately, because of them losing their jobs or their financial situation prior to. And so it was important for us now to get behind organizations that are doing the work in the community, that are making a difference and, you know, impacting you know, our community in a major way right now.
Philadelphia Eagle, Rodney McLeod joining us. It's such a great cause. So if people are listening and they want to join you and they want to find out more information about Change Our Future, maybe even support it, what is the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, so the best way that people can support everything that we're doing is go to changeourfuture.org. You can go to my Instagram, Rod McLeod, for also that'll send you to the link. And we're just encouraging everybody to, you know, help us donate to be able to support more organizations like Philabundance during this time period. And so every donation counts and it matters. And you can go in there for more details to see what our mission is and exactly what programs we're also working on.
Excellent work, and thanks for that, Rodney McLeod, my guest. All right, shifting over to football, last month you signed a two-year deal to stay with Philadelphia. What did it feel like to sign that deal and know that you're going to stay with them?
Yeah, man, it was a great feeling. I felt like I wanted to come back to Philadelphia, a city that meant so much to me, that I've had a chance to play in for the past 4 years, bring a Super Bowl to, and I felt like there was more work to be done for myself. And I want to just be able to continue to build, make a legacy for myself here, and then also, you know, help bring this city another championship, you know, under my leadership.
Now, your journey really is amazing in the sense that, and I mentioned this off the top, you were undrafted coming out of Virginia, and you played a total of 4 defensive snaps in your rookie season. You were primarily a special teams player for the Rams. So what was that rookie season like for you, and what was your mindset coming out of that year?
Yeah, it was a fun year, honestly, I would say. And I think, you know, it wasn't ideal for me to come in undrafted. Every kid dreams of hearing their name called, but those were just the cards I was dealt. And I went in there approaching it as, hey, I have an opportunity at hand to make this team. And whatever my role is going to be this year, I'm going to embrace it and I'm going to work hard. I feel like that's an attribute that's stayed with me all my career and what's led me to become a starter and win a Super Bowl and, you know, be able to play 9 years in this league is the hard work and the commitment that I put in. And so that year I went out, I made a name for myself on special teams. I got noticed and I was blessed enough to come in the next year and compete for a starting role and haven't looked back since.
You know, Rodney, you kind of answered my next question with that response, but I want to ask anyway. I mean, like, a lot of guys would start their careers like that, and obviously they would not go on and have an especially long career, but you went from the starting to, or you went from that start to starting every game the following season, and now you are a leader of the Eagles secondary, and you're entering your ninth season, which really is unreal. I'm sure you'll tell me hard work, but how do you explain how you've grown that much over the course of your career, given where you started?
I think it's me learning from older guys, coaches, and really listening in and trying to make sure I improve as a player and, you know, as a man each year that I've entered this league. I think every year I come in, you gotta refresh your mind and come in with a different sense of motivation. And treat yourself like you are a rookie again, because every year there's guys trying to take your spot. There's always something to prove. And so that's the approach that I've taken. And I think it's because I started out on special teams and I had to grind as an undrafted player. And that just kind of is instilled in me. And I always find something to motivate me each year that I come into the new league year.
That seems so important to me. Like, you got to find a way to reset yourself. You have to find a way to reinvent yourself. You have to find a way to resurrect yourself. Now, you suffered, and in part, there's this. You suffered a season-ending knee injury in 2018, and then you came back and you had that enormous 2019 season. The rehab process was not easy, and then you come back and you start every game and you play every single defensive snap. How much pride was that for you in the way that you came back and were such a big contributor to the team last year coming off that injury?
Yeah, that was a difficult time for me, going down with a major injury like the ACL, coming off a Super Bowl run where, you know, some people would say you're not going to be as motivated again, but I felt indifferent. I felt re-energized. I wanted to come out and prove that, hey, we didn't just do that 1 year and it was luck. So there was a lot to prove that year, and unfortunately I went down with an injury that I never experienced in my career thus far. I think before that I hadn't missed a snap of defense. So it was different for me, and it was a humbling experience, and I found out a lot about myself throughout that rehab process. And it made me a stronger player and individual. And coming into last season, I just wanted to come back bigger, better, stronger than I was before. And most importantly, I just missed the game. I'm a very passionate guy, and I was just grateful for an opportunity to be able to get back out there with my guys. Took it one game at a time, man, and made a lot of plays last year. You know, that helped our defense.
Ronnie, go back to what you just said. Like, you learned something about yourself during that process. What did you learn about yourself during rehab?
I think the biggest thing was, you know, early on, man, like, you don't really see the results that you're kind of, you know, looking for, and you're putting in all this time and effort and work, and you're constantly grinding, and the results aren't necessarily coming, but you got to stay consistent. You got to just push through, and I think it just made me stronger mentally, and having to go through that, you just come out a totally different person and feel like you can overcome so much. Like, if I can get through this, And people, if they really take the time out and like, ask somebody what they've gone through when they experience the ACL injury, they'll tell you there's a lot of ups and downs. And so coming out of that, I just felt like, you know, if I can beat this and I can come out stronger and better, then I can overcome so much in my life, whatever's faced in front of me.
Rodney McLeod joining us for a few more moments, a safety for the Eagles. You know, when guys go through an injury like that, Rodney, you often hear them say that, you know, the knee that was injured because of all the work is actually stronger than the healthy knee. I mean, is that really true? And then what's it like when you get back on the field and you have contact? Do you immediately trust it when you get on the field, or is that moment have to take place where you take that one good shot and you know it's going to be okay?
Yeah, I think it's you have to just put yourself back out there and understand that trust the trainers, trust what they're telling you, trust your body, and that is the hard part. And when you're facing an injury of that caliber, is the trust factor, is the preparation and the work that I put in now going to allow me to go out here and perform the way that I once did, you know, prior to the injury. So I think once you, you know, get over that, then, you know, the rest is easy. But you have to be able to clear that hurdle before you can take the next step. And so I felt like I experienced that early in training camp, went down, got back up. Was scary, but got back up on my feet and I was ready to go.
The reason I appreciate your thoughts on that is I think that fans don't understand this, right? Guys get hurt and you go away, you do the rehab, and the average fan has no idea what goes into that, what that process is like. And then all of a sudden you show back up on the field and it's like, okay, you're good to go. And it's good that you let us inside and let us know exactly what you have to deal with physically and emotionally when you overcome something like that. You're also the owner and CEO of Back of House. It's an online men's fashion store. How did you first get involved with that?
Yeah, fashion was always something I was passionate about, just being from the DMV area, staying in tune with the trends, you know, dressing up as a kid, and now, you know, having this platform that I do, stepping into the NFL, you have a few more dollars at your expense. And, you know, I was able to, you know, create something special that I can, you know, leave behind where I'm from, a legacy outside of the game. I always looked at myself as more than an athlete, and that was always instilled in me. And so passion was something I was super passionate about. It brings that sense of confidence to, you know, I think anyone. When you can put on an outfit, you feel good about yourself, your energy is great, you step out into the world, and now you get these compliments. It's what I love, and I think as an athlete, what we embody is confidence. And so fashion just made sense, and Back of House is something that's been created, and we've been going now for a few years, and it's been great. The process has been up and down, man. It's a business, learned a lot, but I'm very grateful.
All right, so remove yourself from the process for a minute. Who on that team is the single best dressed player right now?
Now that Malcolm's left the locker room, he was definitely running mate for that. I would say I might have to give it to Jalen Mills. He's a very edgy guy. He takes a lot of risks, but the thing about him is you cannot knock his confidence. And like I spoke about, you know, fashion is a industry where you need to have a lot of confidence in what you're wearing, and it's all subjective. It's about how you feel. There's no right or wrong answer in fashion.
So we're only talking about DBs. How come the DBs are the best dressed guys on the team?
Man, I think because we've just got the most swag,
right?
Honestly. We have to, being in the position that we're in, going against, you know, the opponent's best, being out on the island one-on-one, game on the line, a lot of games come down to how we perform.
I think that's a good point. All right, last thought then. Let me put this the best way. I'll put a positive spin on this. Who is the one guy on the team that needs the most help when it comes to dressing?
The most help? That's tough.
I didn't want to say the worst dressed. Who needs the most help?
Put me on the spot. I don't know. I think Jason Kelce, he might need a little help. But Kelce, man, he's a guy that sticks to his lane, and he has his, you know what I'm saying, his niche and what he likes. So I don't know if I could even say he needs help. He might not even take it. He's one of a kind, but I love him dearly.
Dude, that Mummers outfit at the parade was incredible. That was tight.
That was tight, man.
Ronnie, what about the big fellas? I mean, the guys on the line, how do you outfit those guys? Can they rock what you're selling and what you're creating? How much more challenging is it when you got guys going 6'5", 6'6", 6'8", 350?
Yeah, no, it is a difficult – those are difficult guys to dress. And I think that's something that I've talked to, you know, designers and brands about, is really expanding their vision and trying to tailor to some of those bigger individuals who – also like to dress up and like to feel good about themselves. And it's unfortunate that you know, those guys don't have as many
options
or pieces at their disposal as a guy like myself or another skill position. So it is hard. Sometimes, you know, brands, you know, might oversize a few of their pieces that allows them to wear it. But that is something that I've spoken to, designers about and been an advocate for.
Love talking fashion. He was undrafted in 2012 out of Virginia and has turned that into a Super Bowl championship ring, coming off a huge year. 108 total tackles, second highest on the team. He is the owner and CEO of Back of House, and a lot of things going on both on and off the field. My thanks to Rodney McLeod. Rodney, great job. Really nice to have you on the program. Thanks so much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And stay safe and healthy.
Stay safe, Rod. Nice talking to you. That was fun. Really fun. I don't know what it is. Again, I think part of it is access. During this time, guys have a little more time, and they're accessible and they're available. We've had so many great conversations, so many great interviews during this time, and I expect that's going to continue. 1-800-636-8686. All right, that was Rodney McLeod at safety for the Eagles. We had Ian O'Connor, who was tremendous. Josh Lambeau made it back in. More of the same tomorrow. You've got my word that, and I'm speaking for the XR4TI, we are all very happy and very proud to be here during this time and feel very fortunate, knock on wood, to be in our studio here in Southern California. Believe me, that old man Ritt is happy for every minute he's still here. I mean, on the planet, not in the studio. It's Ritt! He's old!
It's lit!
Keep it up, old man. You're doing great. By still being here. What with your diet, dude? I did see a banana on the table today, Ritt. Nice job. What's next? A vegetable? Something green? We will come back tomorrow on the Jim Rohn Podcast. Tony Hawk, episode 124. 124 and nary a double up. Only a couple. It's not one of those podcasts where we keep going back to the same guy over and over and over again. We don't do that. 124 eps. Tony Hawk for the first time. That is going to be tomorrow. I already taped that version of it, so I know it's good. I think I'll get out now, Ritt. I went pretty heavy that time. Stay tuned. Phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Jim Rohn Show.
You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We are close. We are convenient. We are known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and amazing customer service from professional parts people that you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. We come out of that break and Hawk is on the other side of the glass laughing like a hyena. I said, Hawk, what the hell? What happened? He said, dude, Alvin was coming up from underneath the desk. Did he crack his head or no? He just was popping up. He appeared out of nowhere. It was like some magic trick. Weird things happen around here. Hawk smashed his head on a camera. We got that on tape. I smashed my head on the camera. We got that on tape. Alvin popping up like a jack in the box. Got that live. Ritt got old. Got that on tape. Last segment. You are running out of time. Last chance to get through. All right, so in life, we've got a number of ironclad guarantees, so-called locks, death, taxes, some idiot on House Hunters walking into a backyard and saying, yeah, I could really see myself entertaining out here. And then mind-melting, impossibly bizarre baseball injuries. The coronavirus might temporarily stop the rest of the world from functioning as we once knew it, but it has no chance at stopping a baseball player from wrecking himself in the dumbest, most unimaginable way possible. Nothing will stop that. That will always happen. We all know by now, I could sit here for 9 innings and rattle off all the all-time classics. I've lost good relationships with players and managers because I had to talk about the idiocy, the imbecility of some of these people. I mean, I hate it, but when you get hurt or you get injured and you miss time because you spent too much time in a tanning bed or you ate undercooked chicken or a wild boar had something to do with it or you got hurt carrying heavy luggage or holding in a sneeze or trying to carry deer meat downstairs or drone repairs or you fell off the back of a mini monster pickup truck. I mean, these are all real causes. Well, all except the last one. All real causes of real injuries to real Major League Baseball players. And them missing time because of it. Not just things that happened, but missing Major League time because of it. Make room in that club because we have a new member. Former Seattle Mariner turned current Texas Ranger pitching prospect, James Jones. He's a former outfielder turned pitching prospect, James Jones. If you don't know that name, it's because, well, he played for the Mariners. And after two really unsuccessful years for one really unsuccessful franchise, the Rangers have had them in, or him in their farm system, and they're teaching him how to pitch. And somewhere in between the position change, there was also a Tommy John surgery. So right when you think that that road to the show could not get any bumpier, it did, because apparently he exploded his right knee at his Arizona home and just underwent season-ending surgery. Now, how in the hell does this dude turn his patellar tendon into spaghetti at home? Apparently, by tripping on his kid's toy and landing awkwardly on his way to the floor. Of course. Is it me? But you notice how no football players or basketball players are getting cut on after putting a kid's toy under their foot? Why is it that you never hear about that in any other sport but baseball? Something about baseball just comes with a damn near guarantee that at some point you will self-inflict serious damage in the dumbest way possible. Never mind any other sport and any other walk of life. None of us get hurt like that. We're not even athletic, much less elite athletes. None of us get hurt like that. Nobody I have ever known in any walk of life other than a baseball player has ever gotten hurt like that. None of my friends have. None of my family has. Yet James Jones has. He plays baseball for a living, and he finally meets his demise, a damn kid's toy. Now, you might not be able to relate to cashing fat checks as a major league ball player, but I don't know. Like, we haven't gotten hurt that way in the way that we need surgery, but we've been kind of nicked, I guess. I'll give you that. If you have kids, then you have toys, and they're on the ground, and yeah, I guess maybe there's been an issue or two, right? We all can relate to that landmine field that is any house with a young kid living in it. So I guess maybe on some level I can relate. Not the wacky injuries, but the kid's toy injury. So what was it? What toy did this guy land on? Or what toy did this guy try to evade that led to him exploding his knee into spaghetti? We don't know. They're not saying. But I think we have a pretty good guess. What do you think it is? It's got to be a Lego. If you're not a dad, well, you're not a dad until you've stepped on a Lego, folded your ankle, and went down in a crumpled heap on the hardwood. Legos are the all-time GOAT of dad killers. I would rather run across a river using alligators' heads as stepping stones than walk from my room to the kitchen in the dark after a kid had been playing with Legos. Who wouldn't? You know, to be honest, I walked around my house in cowboy boots. I slept in cowboy boots while my kids were between the ages of 3 and 6 because of Legos. I'd seen way too many good men, way too many good fathers go down like they got hit with sniper fire after stepping on an errant Lego. I was at a party once. One of my dudes looked like he had his leg blown off after stepping on one. These things are damn landmines. as anybody who has ever stepped on one can attest to. And the irony here is, whatever that kid left out just took food off his own high chair tray, because now dad's paycheck just went the way of his dad's knee. Shredded. Exploded. Only a baseball player can get hurt during a stay-at-home lockdown. Only a baseball player can suffer a season-ending knee surgery because of a kid's toy was left out on the ground. It's like destiny. In fact, it's not even Jones's fault. The second he signed that contract to play baseball professionally, he was on the clock. They all are. Live by the Lego, die by the Lego. Good luck, my man. Stay safe. A sad note. I'll start you off with something positive tomorrow. Too many snacks may not be agreeing with you, right? Don't worry about that, because Pepto-Bismol has you covered with Pepto-Bismol Liquid Caps. They are just as effective as the liquid. So take the first sign of trouble and enjoy worry-free. Use as directed. Keep out of reach from children. My thanks to Rodney McLeod, Ian O'Connor, Josh Lambeau, the XR4TI. You clones. Hey, clones, get on the phone tomorrow. Like, I was fine. I was great. The show was awesome. Good content. Good takes. I didn't even get to everything. But get on the phones tomorrow. I want to hear from you. See you then. We're out.